Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on the south of Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 23, 2016. All right, it's evening 21, 2020. We will start our second service today with a song that I've written entitled, I Never Foretold What the Future Might Hold. To me it looks mighty down. I never foretold what the future might hold in me. That's mighty dim. When my Savior comes, to Him I will go. To follow Him. Paul wrote in a book, from which I took the stardust and covered the day. I opened it up and I took one look, and then I read from the page. Be ready and watch and wait for Him to send. Call down your name to the sweet refrain, and then He'll write it in law. But I never foretold what the future might hold to me. It looks mighty dim. When my Savior calls, to Him I will go. I could foretell the future as well as the promise did way back then. My days would be brighter, my load would be lighter, for I want to follow Him. But I never foretold what the future might hold to me. It was not dim. When the Savior calls, to Him I will go, so won't you follow Him? The book of Nehemiah, part 2, we're going to continue our study now. We're in chapter 10. Now those that sealed were Nehemiah. Those that were sealed were Nehemiah. And Tershatah, the son of Hakalah, and Zedekijah, Shiriah, and it goes on up to verse 27 here, naming all the different these names that are hard to pronounce, that were sealed after they finished building the temple. All right. So in verse 28 of Nehemiah chapter 10 it says, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land, of the lands, and unto the law of Yahweh, their wives, their sons, and their daughters were one, every one having knowledge and having understanding. They clave unto their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in the Yahweh's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and to observe and do all the commandments of Yahweh or Elohim and His judgments and His statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring aware there are any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, I mean any other day that's holy, including like the Passover day is holy, the 15th day, unleavened bread, and Pentecost comes once a year, it's holy. The Day of Atonement once a year is holy, that's by another saying. Feast of Tabernacles, the first and last day of the Feast of Tabernacles are holy days. The first and last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are holy days. But this is what it's talking about. When it says there that he would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Also he made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our Elohim, for the showbread and for the continual meat offering and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbath, of the new moons, for the said feast. Now, I publish a creation calendar once a year. Have it on my website, 11thhourcall.com. That's number 11. Anytime you want to know the true time, we're running a stream of time, you go to my website and click, and you can find my creation calendar there. It's got the 12 months posted there. All right, let's go ahead. So it says, for the sit feast and for the holy things and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our Elohim. We cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our Elohim after the houses of our fathers at the times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Yahweh or Elohim, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of Yahweh, also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our Elohim unto the priests that minister in the house of our Elohim. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests and to the chambers of the house of our Elohim. And the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our Elohim, unto the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our Elohim. Chapter 11, Nehemiah. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of ten to dwell in the city, the holy city, and nine parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt every one in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel the priest, and the Levites, and the Nethinims, and the children of Solomon's servant. And at Jerusalem dwelt a certain of the children of Judah, and all the children of Benjamin, of the children of Judah, at Thea'ah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalaleel, of the children of Perez, and Maaseiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Koholzeh, the son of Hosea'ah, the son of Adiah, the son of Joarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of Shaloni. All the sons of Perez that dwelt at Jerusalem were 400, 68 valiant men. 40, that'd be 80. And 60 would be 60. There's 403, it'd be 468 valiant men. And these are the sons of Benjamin, Shalu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Pedadiah, the son of Koleah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Athel, the son of Jesseah, and after him, Gabbaiah, Salali, 928, and Joel, the son of Zikri, was their overseer, and Judah, the son of Sinua, was second over the city. Of the priest, Jedidiah, the son of Joharib, Jachin, Siriah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Merioth, the son of Ahitub, was the ruler of the house of Yahweh. And their brethren that did the work of the house were 822, and Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pelaah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, P-A-S-H-U-R, the son of Malchiah, and his brethren, chief of the fathers, 242. And Amasiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Ahaziah, the son of Meshulamoth, the son of Immer, and their brethren, mighty men of valor, 128, and their overseer was Zebadiah, the son of one of the great men, also of the Levites, Shimei, the son of Hashub, the son of Rechom, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Buni. And Shebabiatah and Zozabab of the chief of the Levites had the oversight of the outward business of the house of Yahweh. And Mattaniah, the son of Machachah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving and the prayer. And Bakbukiah, the second among the brethren, and Abdah, the son of Shammu, the son of Gelal, the son of Jeduthun. Now this goes on and names all these names, carry on down through chapter 12. Up to chapter 12 and then through chapter 12. Let's skip on over now. Mid part of the chapter 12, let's start with verse 22. The Levites in the days of Elishaab, Joada, and Johanan, and Jedua were recorded chief of the fathers, also the priests to the reign of Darius and the Persian. The sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles, even until the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib, and the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Calamiel, with their brethren over against them to praise and to give thanks according unto the commandment of David, the man of Yahweh, ward over against ward. Mataniah and Bukiah, Obadiah and Meshulam, Talmon and Akkud were porters, keeping the ward at the threshold of the gate. These were in the days of Joachim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and in the days of Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Nepoth, Atia, also from the house of Gilgal and all the fields of Geba and Asmavet, where the singers had built them villages round about Jerusalem. Okay, it says, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. Next them went Hoshaah and half of the princes of Judah. And Ezra and the Meshulam, Judah and Benjamin and Shemaiah and Jeremiah and certain of the priests, sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mataniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah and Azariah, Melaleah, Gilaliah, Maiah, and Nathaniel, and Judah, Hananiah, with the musical instruments of David, the man of Elohim, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall, above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them. And the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces even unto the broad wall and from above the gate of Ephraim and above the old gate and above the fish gate and the tower of Hananiah and the tower of Meah even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of Yahweh, and I and the half of the rulers with me. And the priest of Eliakim, Masiah, Meniamin, Micaiah, Eloenaniah, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with trumpets. And Maaseiah, and Shimeiah, and Eleazar, and Uzziah, and Jehohanan, and Malchiah and Elam and Ezer and the singers sang loud with Jezariah their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced for Elohim and made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the city the portions of the law for the priests and Levites, for Judah, rejoice for the priests and for the Levites that waited. and both the singers and the porters kept the word of their Yahweh and the word of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon, his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers in songs of praise and thanksgiving unto Yahweh. And all the Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written, this is in chapter 13, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of Yahweh forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our Elohim turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of Elohim, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessel, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given unto the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priest. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 30th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of Yahweh. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of Yahweh with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. And then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of Yahweh forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah, the tithe of the corn and of the new wine and the oil, unto the treasury. And I made treasures over the treasures. Shelemiah, the priest, and Zadok, the scribe, and all the Levites. Pedadiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful. Their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my Elohim and for the officers thereof. In those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and leading asses, as also wild grapes and figs and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our Elohim bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gate, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers and of all kinds were lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them, said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this also, and spare me according unto the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by Elohim, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourself. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his Elohim, and Elohim made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our Elohim in the marrying of strange wives? And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Elisha'ib, the high priest, the son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite, and therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my Elohim, because they have defiled the priesthood, and the covenant of the priesthood, and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my Elohim, for good. Prophecy changed. This is Ellen G. White. We're going to do start with the preface. We're going to look at this book again. There's so much good to be refreshed out of these books. Let's start with the first page. It says, the whole story of the chosen people, the children of Abraham, according to the flesh, is of vast and vital interest. Chiefly, perhaps, because it reveals the many-sidedness of the sublime character of Yahweh, his infinite compassion, his perfect justice, his illimitable wisdom, his unmeasured power, and his everlasting love. For the entire period, no part is more interesting than that of which this volume treats, from the time of Israel's crown of the worldly glory to her captivity and restoration. It is not the object of the book to give a detailed chronicle or story of that time or a systematic historic account. This has been done at various times by others. Rather, the purpose of the book is to do the greater thing, to point out the large moral lessons to be learned from Israel's triumphs, defeats, backslidings, captivity, and reformations, to make these lessons practical, helps the souls in times of testing, and to show the fullness of Elohim's love and mercy in all his dealings with a gainsaying and obdurate people. The volume begins with Israel as a united kingdom in her glory. Look here at magnificent temple, the world center of the true worship. Then follows the vision, the ten tribe kingdom on account of this disloyalty, meeting oblivion and captivity. The checkered career of Judah is given us under the crucial reigns of her principal kings, good and bad, until we find her in captivity, her children weeping by the waters of the Euphrates, their harps hung upon the willows, their eyes turned with longing to Jerusalem and the desolation. We are told of Israel's sojourn in the Babylon, of her holy men and prophets, of the message of deliverance and the proclamation of a mighty monarch of the earth, and of the journey unto Jerusalem for the rebuilding of the temple with the divine direction and the reestablishment of Israel in her own land. For the book abounds in great character studies, Solomon the wise, whose wisdom alone kept not back the heart from the transgression, Jeroboam the man of policy, and the evil results which followed, the mighty Elijah, without pedigree, it is true, but not without mission and message, Elisha, the prophet of peace and healing, Ahaz, the fearful and wicked Hezekiah, the timid and good, Daniel, the beloved of Yahweh, Jeremiah, the prophet of sorrow, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, prophets of the restoration. Beyond them all rises in glory, supernal, the coming King, the Lamb of the Yahweh, the only begotten Son, in whom all types of the sacrifice, righteousness, and peace find eternal fulfillment. The volume illustrates the unthwarted plans of Yahweh. If His blessed gospel cannot be given to the world with the cooperation of His people, it will go on broader wings in spite of them. But though they are captives in Babylon, through the faithful witness of a few, Babylon's greatest king is led to publish to all the world by a royal proclamation the knowledge of the true Yahweh. In their deliverance from the captivity, the message of freedom is proclaimed by Cyrus the Great of Persia. Okay. And we have, in their deliverance from the captivity, the message of freedom is proclaimed by Cyrus the Great of Persia. Now, this is what Donald Trump today, he's an antithetical Cyrus. Isaiah 45:1. And it's also in Isaiah 44, Cyrus is mentioned. And he is called the Great Deliverer. Okay, today. That's what his mission is. The wealth and power of empires are placed at the disposal if Elohim so wills. Thus we are carried forward in Elohim's plan from type to antitype, from the rulers that die to the King Eternal, from the glories that fade to the glories everlasting and fadeless, from the moral people who sin and perish to the people righteous and their Elohim immortal forever. At this volume, from the truly lamented author who died as the last chapters were preparing, may, like its companion volumes by the same author, the blessed in bringing many precious souls to become worshipers of the true and only Yahweh, is a pair of the publishers of this book, Prophets and Kings. Okay, that's the introduction. I'll now go to our first chapter. The Vineyard of the Yahweh is the name of it. It was for the purpose of bringing the best gifts of heaven to all the peoples of the earth that Yahweh called Abraham out from his idolatrous kindred. and bade him dwell in the land of Canaan. I will make of thee a great nation, he said, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. It was a high honor under which Abraham was called, that of being the father of the people, who for centuries were to be the guardian and preservers of the truth of Yahweh unto the world, the people through whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed in the advent of the promised Messiah. Men had well nigh lost the knowledge of the true Yahweh. Their minds were darkened by idolatry. For the divine statutes, which are holy and just and good, men were endeavoring to substitute laws in harmony with the purpose of their own cruel, selfish hearts. Yet Yahweh in His mercy did not blot them out of the existence. He purposed to give them opportunity for becoming acquainted with Him through His church. He designed that the principles revealed through His people should be the means of restoring the moral image of Yahweh and man. Yahweh's law must be exalted, His authority maintained, and to the house of Israel was given the great and noble work. Yahweh separated them from the world that He might commit unto them a sacred trust. He made them the depositories of His law, and He purposed through them to preserve among men the knowledge of Himself. Thus the light of heaven was to shine out to a world enshrouded in darkness, and a voice was to be heard appealing unto all peoples to turn from the idolatry for the servant of the living Elohim with a great power and with a mighty hand. Elohim brought His chosen people out of the land of Egypt, for He sent Moses, His servant, and Aaron, whom He had chosen. They showed His signs among them, and wonders in the land of Ham. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so He led them through the depths. He rescued them from their servile state, that He might bring them to a good land, a land which in His providence He had prepared for them as a refuge from their enemies. He would bring them to unto Himself and encircle them in His everlasting arms, and in return for His goodness and mercy, they were to exalt His name and make it glorious in the earth. Okay, you find that in Exodus 32:11, Psalms 105, 26-27, and Psalms 106, verse 9. The Yahweh's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So Yahweh alone did lead him, and there was no strange Elohim with him. Thus He brought the Israelites unto Himself, that they might dwell as under the shadow of the Most High, miraculously preserved from the perils of the wilderness wandering. They were finally established in the land of the promise as a favored nation. By the means of a parable, Isaiah has told with touching pathos the story of the Israel's call and training to stand in the world as the Yahweh's representative, fruitful in every good work. Now will I sing unto my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching His vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. To the chosen nation, Elohim had purposed to bring blessings to all mankind, the vineyard of Yahshua of hosts, or the Yahweh of hosts, the prophet declared, is the house of Israel. Let's do that again. Let's see if we can polish that up a little bit more than that. It says, the vineyard of the Yahweh of the hosts, the prophet declared, is in the house of Israel. I had the word in preposition. The vineyard is not Israel. The vineyard is in the house of Israel. It belongs to the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. To this people were committed the oracles of Yahweh. They were hedged about by the precepts of his law, the everlasting principles of the truth, justice, and purity. Obedience to these principles was to be their protection, for it would save them from destroying themselves by sinful practices. And as the tower of the vineyard, Elohim placed in the midst of the land his holy temple. Yahshua was their instructor, as he had been with them in the wilderness, so he was still to be their teacher and guide. In the tabernacle of the temple, his glory dwelt in the holy Shekinah, above the mercy seat. In their behalf, he constantly manifested the riches of his love and patience. Through Moses, the purpose of Elohim was set before them, and the terms of their prosperity made plain. Thou art an holy people unto Yahweh the Elohim, he said. The Yahweh the Elohim has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, thou hast vouched the Yahweh this day to be thy Elohim and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Yahweh hath avowed thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Yahweh the Elohim, as he hath spoken. The children of Israel were to occupy all the territory which Elohim appointed them. Those nations that rejected the worship and service of the true Elohim were to be dispossessed. But it is Elohim's purpose that by the revelation of his character through Israel, men should be drawn unto him. Unto all the world, the gospel invitation was to be given. Through the teaching of the sacrificial service, Yahshua was to be uplifted before the nations, and all who would look unto him should live. All who, like Rahab, the Canaanite, and Ruth, the Moabitess, turned from idolatry unto the worship of the true Elohim were to unite themselves with his chosen people. As the numbers of Israel increased, they were to enlarge their borders until their kingdom should embrace the world. But ancient Israel did not fulfill Elohim's purpose, for Yahweh declared, I had planted thee a noble vine, a holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto thee? Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray thee, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grace, brought it forth wild grace. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the cloud that they rain no rain upon it, for he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Yahweh had through Moses set before his people the result of the unfaithfulness. By refusing to keep his covenant, they would cut themselves off from the life of Yahweh, and his blessing could not come upon them. At times these warnings were heeded, and rich blessings were bestowed upon the Jewish nation and through them upon the surrounding people. But more often in their history they forgot Yahweh and lost sight of their high privilege as his representatives. They robbed him of the service he required of them, and they robbed their fellow men of the religious guidance and a holy example. They desired to appropriate unto themselves the fruits of the vineyard over which they had been made stewards. Their covetousness and greed caused them to be despised even by the heathen. Thus the Gentile world was given occasion to misinterpret the character of Yahweh and the laws of his kingdom. With a father's heart, Yahweh bore with his people. He pleaded with them. Mercies given and mercies withdrawn. Patiently, he set their sins before them, and in forbearance waited for the acknowledgement. Prophets and messengers were sent to urge his claim upon the husbandmen. But instead of being welcomed, these men of the discernment and spiritual power were treated as enemies. For the husbandmen persecuted and killed them. Elohim sent still other messengers, but they received the same treatment as the first, only that the husbandmen showed still more determined hatred. For the withdrawal of the divine favor during the period of the exile led many to repentance, yet after their return to the land of promise, the Jewish people repeated the mistakes of the former generation and brought themselves into political conflict with the surrounding nation. The prophets whom Elohim sent to correct the prevailing evils were received with the same suspicion and scorn that had been accorded the messengers of the earlier times, and thus from the century to century, the keepers of the vineyard added to their guilt. Well, that's right clear on down. The keepers of the vineyard completely clear on down to the end. The good divine planted by the divine husbandman upon the hills of Palestine was despised by the men of Israel and was finally cast over the vineyard wall. They bruised it and trampled it under their feet and hoped that they had destroyed it forever. The husbandman removed the vine and concealed it from their sight. Again he planted it, but on the other side of the wall, and in such a manner that the stalk was no longer visible. The branches hung over the wall, and grass might be joined to it, but the stem itself was placed beyond the power of men to reach or harm. Of the special value unto Elohim's church on earth today, the keepers of his vineyard are the messages of counsel and admonition given through the prophet, who have made plain his eternal purpose in behalf of the mankind. In the teachings of the prophets, his love for the lost race and his plan for their salvation are clearly revealed. The story of Israel's call, of their successes and failures, of their restoration into the divine favor, of the rejection of the master of the vineyard, and of the carrying out of the plan of the ages by a goodly remnant unto whom are to be fulfilled all the covenant promises. This has been the theme of the Elohim's messengers to his church throughout the centuries that have passed. And today Elohim's message to his church, unto those who are occupying his vineyard as the faithful husbandman, is none other than that spoken through the prophet of old. Sing ye unto her, vineyard of red wine, I the Yahweh do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Let Israel hope in the Yahweh. The master of the vineyard is even now gathering from among men of all nations and peoples the precious fruits for which he has long been waiting. Soon he will come unto his own, and in that glad day his eternal purpose for the house of Israel will finally be fulfilled. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Okay, that was just the introduction. We had the preface and then we had the introduction. From strength to weakness. Thus saith Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the glory man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Yahweh, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yahweh, Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Solomon 1. In the reign of Solomon, David and Solomon, Israel became strong among the nations and had many opportunities to wield a mighty influence in behalf of the truth and the right. The name of the Yahweh was exalted and held in honor. The purpose for which the Israelites had been established in the land of the promise bade fair of meeting with the fulfillment. Barriers were broken down, and the seekers after truth in the lands of the heathen were not turned away unsatisfied. Conversions took place, and the church of the Elohim on the earth was enlarged and prospered. Solomon was anointed and proclaimed king in the closing years of his father David. Now keep in mind, it's the word anointed now. David was anointed by Samuel. Solomon was anointed, you see, and proclaimed king in the closing years of his father David, who abdicated in his favor. His early life was bright with promise, and it was Elohim's purpose that he should go on from strength to strength, from glory to glory, ever approaching near the similitude of the character of Yahweh, and thus inspiring his people to fulfill their sacred trust as the depositories of the divine truth. David knew that Elohim's high purpose for Israel could be met only as rulers and people should seek with unceasing vigilance to attain unto the standard placed before them. He knew that in order for his son Solomon to fulfill the trust with which Elohim was pleased to honor him, the useful ruler must be not merely a warrior, a statesman, and a sovereign, but a strong, good man, a teacher of righteousness, an example of the fidelity. With tender earnestness, David entreated Solomon to be manly and noble, to show mercy and loving kindness unto his subjects, and in all his dealings with the nations of the earth, to honor and glorify the name of the Yahweh, and to make manifest the beauty of holiness. The many trying and remarkable experiences through which David had passed during his lifetime had taught him the value of the nobler virtue and led him to declare in his dying charge unto Solomon, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even in the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by the clear shining after the rain." Oh, what an opportunity was Solomon's, or should he follow the divinely inspired instruction of his father? His reign would be a reign of righteousness, like that described in the 72nd Psalm. "Give the king thy judgments, O Yahweh, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Sheba shall offer gifts. Yea, and all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." In his years, Solomon made David's choice his own, and for many years he walked uprightly. His life marked with the strict obedience unto Elohim's commands. Early in his reign, he went with his counselors of the state unto Gibeon. where the tabernacle that had been built in the wilderness still was, and there he united with his chosen advisors. For the captains of the thousands and of hundreds, the judges and every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers, in offering sacrifices unto the Yahweh, and in the consecrating of themselves fully unto the Yahweh's service, comprehending something of the magnitude of the duties connected with the kingly office, Solomon knew that those bearing heavy burdens must seek the source of wisdom for guidance if they would fulfill their responsibilities and acceptability. This led him to encourage his counselors to unite with him heartily and making sure of their acceptance with the Yahweh. Above every earthly good, the king desired wisdom and understanding for the accomplishment of the work Elohim had given him to do. He longed for quickness of mind, for largeness of heart, for tenderness of the spirit. That night, the Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." In his answer, the young and inexperienced ruler gave utterance unto his feeling of helplessness and his desire for aid. "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy," he said, "according as he walked before thee in the truth and in righteousness." Now keep in mind, David walked before the Father, Yahweh Elohim, in the truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Yahweh, my Elohim, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Yahweh that Solomon had asked this thing, because this was in thine heart. Yahweh said unto Solomon, "And thou hast not asked of riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, and neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge. Shall any arise like unto thee? And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like." This brings in verse 10 of this hour contest at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. "Let the heavenly light shine through," by Elijah Davis. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yahweh if he hadn't have created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yahweh, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh and his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh, his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke the word all creation heard, and the world started spinning around. Then he spoke the word, and the light appeared, it united it from the night. And Yah saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. Yah, his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. Well, you come from a mountain and you look around, there's a green valley below. There's a moon up above love, there's a shine of his love, there's a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all the heaven can spare. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's waiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. When the hour is mercy, when it comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you.